So a month ago when I said to Alistair, oh sure, I don't mind preaching on Christmas Day, I really wasn't thinking. I got home around midnight last night and thought, oh God, I'm going to have 5 hours sleep and then I got to say something brilliant in the morning. And no, they won't care. So now, first of all, I got to say, when I first got up here, okay, everybody's messing with me today because you guys always sit over there and you sit over here. It's just wrong. When we change, what are we doing here? I have two Christmas stories I have to tell you. A lot of it is about my, we'll say my previous intolerance for Christianity when I was a church musician. The first one, my last year playing in the church in Orillia, where I was 19 years, I played the organ there. And my last Christmas morning mass, which would have been the eighth mass in 24 hours, we had a resident priest who just didn't believe that heat was necessary in a church. Orillia was about minus 30 degrees that morning. I played the last hymn at such a pace that nobody in the building could sing it. It was joy to the world at lightning speed. Just thinking, gotta get in here, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of here. And as soon as the last note died, the globe in the lantern right behind me exploded. Down on the floor. I thought, okay, is that my intolerance? Is that God saying, get a grip on yourself? The second one is I always recorded midnight mass from the Church of Christ the King Cathedral in Hamilton. They broadcast it every year. And I get home at 1 o'clock in the morning after midnight mass. I gotta see what they did in Hamilton. This woman came up to the lectern to read the first reading, the one we heard here, dressed to the nines. Looked perfect, right? The people that walked in darkness have seen a green light. And you can see the expression on her face, because the camera was zoomed right on her. I thought, oh, you poor dear. Christmas for me was always just a marathon. It was a marathon to get from the beginning to the end. You know, you went through those, since I say Remembrance Day, hearing the carols and seeing the shoppers and all the happy people in the snow, and thinking, they don't know why they're coming to church, and they don't know why they're here. They just come because it's a habit. And so my intolerance became a bit of a jadedness about this celebration. Worse than that, everybody came to church on Christmas Eve and nobody came on Christmas Day. The feast of Christmas drove me bananas. Then I thought, what am I doing? Is that what it's all about? Am I really that intolerant that I cannot see faith everywhere? Is it only wrapped up in the righteous? And it was kind of silly when you think about it, because I belong to a community that for so many years was ostracized by church. Here I am sitting there in my righteous indignation, judging people who are coming once a year. Shame on me. Shame on that attitude. And, you know, it took me, well, nearly 20 years to get over that. But it was my first Christmas alone. First Christmas that I wasn't a church musician and I wasn't actually working in a church. And I didn't go on Christmas Eve. I sat in my living room because my husband, Barry, was, most of you know, was a flight attendant, and so rarely had a Christmas off. So I sat in my living room in the dark. I wouldn't even turn the lights on my tree. And I felt sorry for myself. Ooh, boo-hoo, poor me. God abandoned me. Well, seriously. Again, get a grip on yourself, Patrick. You weren't abandoned. You judged. And now you're judging yourself. And you're judging God. But you're not getting the message of this whole feast. This whole feast was opening up something for us. It wasn't about being there on the 25th at midnight to celebrate Mass. It was about why it was necessary for Christ to come on this earth. It was necessary so that God could show us what it was all about the love, about the sacrifice, about what it means to actually take this feast of the birth of this child into your heart and live that daily. The story is a wonderful story. We don't know that that's how it happened. Luke is the only one that talks very verbosely about the birth of Jesus in such a way. We get wrapped up in the cuteness of it and the pretty decorations and the pretty flowers. I mean, look. But do we take that for the rest of the year? Or is it only this, you know, 24-hour period that we feel this way? We feel the love of the incarnation and the wonderfulness of being alive and the great gift that God has given us. And the rest of the time, we're stuck in reality. We were stuck in it this morning, just down the street. Two overdoses, half a block away. And when Barry and I were driving here, the fellow living underneath his tarp with his shopping cart over on this side of the street. So reality is around us, and we try to use Christmas as a way to escape that, but it actually should be the other way around. Christmas is that time that we have to remember and celebrate life and celebrate our humanity and celebrate the gift, but remember, everybody's not here with us. And so in order for us to make that known, we have to be this all the time. And that's very difficult. I used to laugh at people. Where I lived, we had a circular driveway in the church. Now, of course, in Orillia, Ontario, let me tell you this, it snows between November 1st and April 1st constantly. It never stops. It's a little band of snow squalls that come off of Georgian Bay right across the city of Orillia. So in the circular driveway, they had three lanes. There was two lanes that you could park in and one lane that you could go all the way through and out the other side. Well, of course, by the time the snow came, the lanes were getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but the people were parking as if there were still three lanes there. So midnight mass is over with, and out in the parking lot, the screaming and the yelling and the honking of horns after church was a sight to behold. And I thought, Lord, you were just in there for 5 minutes and you've forgotten what this is all about. So easy for us to forget when we leave this place that in order to be that Savior to the rest of the world, we have to be this all the time. And that is really hard. So my Christmas wish for all of us is that we here are able to take this message out there and live it 365, 24/7. Hard thing to do sometimes. And if you see me driving and I honk my horn at you, I apologize ahead of time. But I have to practice it myself. To be a good, loving, faithful Christian takes a whole lot of work. It was so much easier back in the days when I was judgmental. Much easier. But it was wrong. And I admit that. It was wrong. I was not a good model of Christianity. I was quite the opposite, actually. So I want to be that. And that means loving everybody. I have a good friend in this who constantly reminds me all the time, still, you got to kill them with love, kill them with kindness, kill them with happiness. Oh, that's hard. But it's really, really rewarding in the end. Because when we show people out there what a Christian really looks like, then the world is a happier place, and we're comforted by who we are, and we are able to bring the new Christ child into the world. And that's a marvelous thing. Merry Christmas to you all. Thanks.